Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Definitely go check us out at reallifepharmacology.com. Snag your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide. And we'll send you updates as to when we have new podcasts available and other educational materials. So definitely go snag that for free. And I hope you enjoy today's episode. So I'm going to cover conjugated estrogens today. The brand name of this medication, most commonly used medication, is Premarin. And if you remember in the name of Premarin, it's kind of an interesting little quirk with the drug. This drug is actually derived from pregnant horses. So pre as a part of Premarin is meaning pregnant, mare or Premarin. Mare is a female horse, and in is indicative of, you know, finishing the word urine. So this drug, again, comes from the urine of pregnant horses. So very kind of interesting tidbit with this drug, certainly. So, you know, why would we give somebody estrogen? And there's definitely a several different reasons. But first, estrogen is a hormone that is heavily involved in the female reproductive system. So important just to have that little piece of background, as it might be indicative of what we're trying to treat or manage. So those indications. If you have any type of disorder where a patient is not producing estrogen or not fully producing estrogen, that's a situation where we could potentially supplement with estrogen. There are certain types of cancers that we may use estrogen for. Another situation may be abnormal bleeding, for example. So these are generally more rare circumstances, and I can't say in clinical practice that I see them a lot. By far, the most common use that I see Premarin used for is for vasomotor symptoms of menopause. Okay, so these are your hot flashes, your night sweats, things of that nature that replacing estrogen, remember we're losing estrogen basically, replacing that estrogen can help with some of those symptoms. And that all sounds well and good, right? You know, but we've got to think about the flip side of what risks come with giving that estrogen. And there are a few boxed warnings that I really think you should be aware of. So first one, giving estrogen alone without any other progestin does increase the risk for endometrial cancer. So again, this is in patients with an intact uterus, that giving of estrogen can increase the risk for cancer. So that's obviously a pretty big deal there. So some situations you'll see it given with a progestin, and that's due to trying to help reduce that risk of endometrial cancer. Another boxed warning, risk of DVT, PE, stroke, things of that nature. So you got to think blood clots when you think about Premarin or estrogen. And that's obviously a big concern. You know, the first boxed warning, getting cancer. Second boxed warning, blood clots. These are very serious negative outcomes potentially. And that's why we really like to try to avoid or at least minimize the use of this medication within the setting of managing menopausal symptoms, basically. And then we also do have increased risk for another type of cancer, and that's breast cancer. So definitely lots of warnings and precautions with the use of estrogen in managing those menopausal symptoms. There is one potential benefit from estrogen, And I believe many, many years ago, in severe osteoporosis, we used to use estrogen a little bit more to help with basically building up those bones and help managing osteoporosis. But because of all those risks associated with the drug, and now we have so many safer agents, I guess, such as your bisphosphonates and things of that nature, we don't use estrogen strictly for preventing and managing osteoporosis and the risk of fracture there. But it can be helpful and beneficial in that setting. All right, so again, those risks I talked about, things that I'm looking out for in clinical practice, I want to continually reassess that estrogen replacement and make sure that we're not using it for an excessively long period of time or in very, very high doses, because more exposure, longer period of time, you know, you're just increasing your risk for something bad to happen, you know, whether that's, increasing the risk for cancer, increasing the risk for blood clot, again, those serious complications. So that is definitely something that I monitor for in clinical practice and, you know, ask the physician or whoever is prescribing that medication, okay, do they continue to need it? And just making sure that that's reevaluated over time, because it does get lost in the shuffle. I've definitely seen that periodically for sure. Okay, so those boxed warnings, those are big, bad adverse effects. There can certainly be some mild adverse effects as well. GI upset, headache, you may see some vaginal or breast changes as well with estrogen replacement there. So those are more kind of nuisance potential type adverse effects there. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we will wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, ambulatory care, medication therapy management exam, or geriatrics exam, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We also have links to our NAPLEX content as well, if you're a student looking to prepare for that exam. If you're not a pharmacist or another healthcare professional, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. Got a growing list of resources, recent books put out on drug interactions, drug-food interaction resource, case studies, clinical pearls, all sorts of different content that can help you become more aware and better at medication management. So definitely go check that out. Support our sponsor, meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, so finishing up on drug interactions with estrogen. So the first obvious thing I think about with estrogen is we wouldn't want to give any anti-estrogen medication with estrogen, right? We're trying to do opposite things there. It just doesn't make much sense. So a good example of a total contraindication is a drug like anastrozole, which is an aromatase inhibitor, which tries to prevent the production of estrogen because we're worried about excessive estrogen and cancer. So definitely got to think about that really common sense thing. Hopefully, you know, the oncologist that the patient's working with is well aware of that, but you know, sometimes things can slip through the cracks, whether, you know, the Premarin didn't get on a medication list or something like that. Definitely something to be aware of there. The other big thing as far as opposing effects that comes to mind with estrogen therapy is anticoagulation. So if you ever see a patient on Premarin and you see an anticoagulant on their medication list as well, so say warfarin or an Eliquis, things of that nature, you've got to recognize that this patient's probably at clot risk already and that using Premarin in that patient is a really significantly higher risk situation. Okay, so very, very important. If you see that ever, we've got to address that Premarin, you know, what are we using it for, how long have they been on it, what dose are they on, and obviously, as appropriate, potentially look to get rid or at least decrease that medication if possible. So again, keep tabs on that cardiovascular risk when we're talking, and clot risk when we're talking about estrogen therapy. There are some mild potential impacts, maybe can cause a little elevation in blood sugar. I would say from my perspective, I haven't really seen that be clinically significant, but keep in mind if your patient's on multiple diabetes medications or they can't get blood sugars under control, you know, Premarin may cause a little bit more increase in that situation. It is broken down by CYP3A4. So CYP3A4 inhibitors could raise concentrations of estrogen, leading to maybe some of those increased risk for toxicity and bad events to happen. CYP3A4 inducer could potentially lower those concentrations of estrogen. And then one final thing I wanted to mention is thinking about that risk for DVT, PE, those blood clots. We've got to recognize other medications that may increase that risk for, you know, vascular type events. So NSAIDs is a commonly used class of medications people can get over the counter. Remember, there's warnings with NSAIDs about cardiovascular risks. So adding that on to estrogen, we may kind of jack up those risks for negative outcomes, blood clots, strokes, things of that nature. So really pay attention to maybe some additive effects when we're using estrogen therapy. And like I said, particularly mentioned with NSAIDs there. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. I thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, find it beneficial. One, you can leave us a rating, review on iTunes. It's greatly appreciated. Other thing you can do, share us with a classmate, a student, a preceptor, pharmacist, med student, nursing student, whoever wants to learn more about pharmacology. So I greatly appreciate all of you for helping us grow this podcast. And of course, you can support our sponsor, meded101.com/store as well. I'm going to sign off for today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Remember to snag your free 31-page PDF at reallifepharmacology.com simply for signing up there. Just an email is all it takes. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.